really teach people some grammar structures, how to write. And I think that's where it started, you know, and then over time, you start to get more into it. It gave me an extra love for linguistics, and that really ties into computer science itself. So it gave me an extra love for those things. Just seeing the ways that, you know, different people process language, because, well, somebody might be thinking about something in their native tongue and they're trying to say it in English, but it sounds kind of weird. So you're trying to translate that properly. So now, you know, just learning a little bit more about their thinking processes and so on really helps, you know, helped me when I was translating. And I think there are a couple ways, you know, these initial processes influenced my teaching career. So initially it was just English first. And then eventually I taught in the middle school. I taught the sciences, which was a really, really cool experience, I would say. I enjoyed just getting these children into STEM, which I found was so important. I had them experiment and they really blew me away.
Welcome to Latinx in Power, a podcast hosted by Thaisa Fernandez.
2024 is now officially the year of the win, because why not, right? Everybody loves winning more than losing. It's science, trust me. No more. No more L's. No more second places, no more participation trophies. It's time to go all in on winning. And the Sales Hub for HubSpot is the perfect platform to get us there. They pulled out of the stops so you can get all the W's. This all-in-one platform is thoughtfully crafted with the right tools and insights to power the right conversations. It's bolstered by AI to save time on menial tasks. It integrates with more than 1,300 of your favorite tools and has all the add-ons you need to scale the right way at the lower cost. Also, you can win more deals, win more revenue, win more customers for life, and I love the sound of winning. And don't worry, your wins are just getting started. Sales Hub is a dream come true for sellers. Visit hubspot.com/sales to stop dreaming and start selling with Sales Hub.
Welcome to Latinx in Power. Today, we are talking with DeAndre Ottley. DeAndre is an IT manager, software engineer, and data scientist. He's known for his expertise in applying data-driven insights to improve business processes, as well as his out-of-box approach to problem solving. He also has a passion for sports and sustainable development. I'm very excited with this conversation. Welcome.
Yes, thank you. And go Lakers.
I love that. I knew that you were going to say that. I love that. I don't know anything about sports, so very nice. And in this podcast episode, we will discuss DeAndre's Caribbean identity, his Taiwan study journey, the influence of teaching and experience on his tech career, returning home, overcoming immigrant challenges, the lasting impact of his time in Taiwan, and how his passion for sports complements his tech career. So many interesting things. I'm so excited with this conversation. But first, I wanted to ask you, what does it mean to be Caribbean for you?
You know, I've tried thinking about this for quite a while, and I don't think I've ever come to a consensus on this. Of course, you know, the Caribbean is so rich in culture. It's a melting pot. You know, so many different peoples from all around the world, you know, that came to this region, whether it's from Asia, Europe, Africa, you know, all these different cultures came in and mixed together. And I feel that being just Caribbean, it's kind of a unique identity, but I also feel that I feel all those influences as well going in and being able to live together and for the most part in, you know, in harmony and, you know, exchanging our different cultures. You know, we see it in the food. That's one very important part of the identity. And I think I can say that for both Latin America and the Caribbean, the food is definitely something I think we all share in common. You know, we season our food very well. I think that's very important. It's always yummy, tasty, full of spices. And I think that's an important part of the Caribbean identity. I think the second thing, a little more serious, is resilience. I think we are very resilient people. We face so many challenges, but somehow we've always been able to overcome. And I think that's a very important part of, you know, just being Caribbean.
I love that. I love when you start saying that, the sense that how you feel, it might also change. I definitely relate to that. I think some years ago, to me, what it meant to be Latina might change or added some stuff. So, and having this sense that it's like different feelings, different things, and yeah, they're all living in harmony. So I love that. And I wanted to ask you more about you and your journey. So can you start telling us a bit more about your background and how you end up studying in Taiwan?
Yes. So, you know, it's an interesting story. Of course, my background, you know, went to school here on the island of Nevis. I was actually born in the island of St. Martin. My parents met there. They had five siblings, actually. So I'm the youngest of six. So, you know, we came to this island. You know, I grew up here. I think I lived a normal, pretty normal life. I was always into computers, though, from a pretty young age. And I just remember just like, you know, playing around with something. I think I broke a computer and I tried my best to fix it. And once I did that, I sorted out the problem. It gave me so much confidence. And, you know, I took that into the rest of my journey. I was like, you know, if I could do this, I felt like I could do anything. You know, that's how I grew up, you know, did all kinds of little things. Some things were cool, played pranks in school. That, you know, only this year some people found out that I was the one behind of it because I was a quiet kid. And so that's how I started out. And, you know, always into computers, did associate studies and so on. How I ended up studying in Taiwan, our country has diplomatic ties with Taiwan and they offer a few scholarships. And because of that, I did the applications and my grades in school, you know, were good enough. I was afforded the opportunity to be on the ICDF scholarship. And I got a nice opportunity to first study Mandarin Chinese and then do a computer science and information engineering program in Chinese, in Mandarin Chinese.
It sounds very easy, right?
I'm kind of streamlining it. Of course, you know, it's been a while now. So of course, you know, kind of streamlining things. But
that's incredible, though.
Yeah, so there are different steps to it, different things you have to provide. Well, you know, those might not be as easy, but the opportunities was there. The opportunities are there still. And, you know, I was just so happy that I got to take advantage of it.
That's incredible. I cannot imagine, like, learning a new language and studying something completely new in your second language. That's so interesting and amazing and a huge challenge. And that's incredible. That's incredible. How was your favorite part during this process?
Oh, my favorite part during this process, I think really is about meeting friends, I would say, meeting people from all over the world. I think that was very important because you never know, you know, what people may have come from or, you know, what people are thinking just in general. But one thing I found out through the process that human beings in general are very similar and we all want similar things. And I think through this process, that's what I really found out. You know, I've met people from interesting places. Like I met someone from Tuvalu, for example. You know, a very remote, tiny nation in the Pacific. It's not very often you get those type of opportunities. So I thought that was really cool. You're just getting to meet new people, having conversations with them, learning little bits and pieces of their culture, exchanging stuff, cooking for each other. That was great. I know that didn't have anything to do with school itself, but I thought that was just as important.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. Those connections that we make and the things we learn, and it's just, yeah, so inspiring. And can you tell us about your experience teaching and what did you teach? Why did you decide to teach? And how it has influenced your career in tech. I think those things are very interesting. I love to learn more.
Yeah, so where does it start? So the whole teaching thing, especially if you're from an English-speaking country like I am, if you're in Taiwan, you're probably going to end up teaching at some point, especially as a student. It's one of the more lucrative jobs, I would say. So you end up doing it, you know, at first just to try to make a little extra cash or whatever. But the one thing I actually did enjoy doing that, I did some tutoring here at home before I left for university. And I think I just carried it over, especially after learning Mandarin. I felt like I had a leg up. I said, you know, I can really teach people some grammar structures, how to write. And I think that's where it started. You know, and then over time, you start to get more into it. It gave me an extra love for linguistics. And that really ties into computer science itself. So it gave me an extra love for those things. Just seeing the ways that, you know, different people process language. Because, well, somebody might be thinking about something in their native tongue and they're trying to say it in English, but it sounds kind of weird. So you're trying to translate that properly. So now, you know, just learning a little bit more about their thinking processes and so on really helps, you know, helped me when I was translating. And I think there are a couple ways, you know, these initial processes influenced my teaching career. So initially it was just English first. And then eventually I taught in the middle school. I taught the sciences, which was a really, really cool experience, I would say. I enjoyed just getting these children into STEM, which I found was so important. I had them experiment and they really blew me away with their experiments. Well, my word. You know, they really went all out doing the experiments. And so from there, that really tied more into my tech career. Because there were two things that it really assisted me with. So at my last job in Taiwan, besides doing software engineering, I was the point person for translations for our projects from Mandarin to English. I just happened to be that person. I say, yeah, we need something translated. Oh, just call DeAndre. Yes, he's going to do it. So that's one way. But I think even more importantly, what teaching does, it teaches you a lot of patience, especially when you're dealing with children. Well, it started with children, but you know, especially if you're a manager of some sort, you have to deal with people on all different levels. Or for my current job, sometimes I have to sort out something, I have to explain something to one of the workers, and I have to really break it down. So it helps me with that, break it down, break it into small chunks, into, you know, a way that they can understand it as well. So I really felt it helped me express myself a bit better, to also express myself at different levels. So it's not just, you know, I'm speaking like an academic all the time. Oh, I think it taught me to express myself, you know, just as a layman more often.
Incredible. I think this topic is just so interesting. And I feel we don't talk much about that. And I can imagine, first of all, you learning Mandarin and then teaching English and how you could relate to those folks learning English because you're also learning a new language. And it's just like so interesting. And also the fact that, as you mentioned, a lot of people don't know how like linguistics relates to like computing languages. And, you know, it's just so interesting. And also how sometimes when folks who work in their second language, they might think, oh, I have accent or whatever is not my main language. So for me, it might be difficult sometimes. But at the same time, I don't know, we might have an advantage, like, as you said, like being able to translate and communicate in a different way. Or even I feel like, for example, in my case, the emphasis that and the effort that I took in like improving my communication skills in my second language is something that maybe for someone who comes from a country with English as the first language might not do. So a lot of people, for example, they mention how they like the way I write. And, you know, and it's interesting because like, whoa, I wasn't expecting that because this is not my language. This is hard for me. But at the same time, maybe it's different just because the amount of effort and like the amount of thinking I put into that just because it's not something that comes naturally. I don't know. What are your thoughts about this?
Oh, I think that's a good point. I would say I would just like to say first, I also like your writing. I've been impressed by it. So I do have to give you props for that as well. Yeah, so on those things, yeah, it's definitely an advantage, not just because of the effort, but because you're able to see things from a different perspective. And I think that's also very important. And when it comes to, well, at least in tech, when it comes to learning a programming language, I think it also gives you a blueprint for doing that as well. So you kind of know how to process things in a certain way, because programming languages have a syntax that you need to follow. You know, there are certain rules. And if you actively learn another language, I think you would be more aware of these things. I think that's where your advantage lies. Of course, you know, if you could learn two or three or four, you know, I guess when you're going around in the tech space, just meeting new people as well, that would also give you a different sort of advantage.
Incredible. I love that. Thank you.
Imperfect Action, hosted by Steph Taylor, is brought to you by the HubSpot Podcast Network, the audio destination for business professionals. Imperfect Action is a bite-sized online marketing podcast for business owners. Join Steph Taylor as she answers all your business marketing questions and deep dives into the nitty-gritty of online marketing, content marketing, social media marketing, and marketing strategy for business owners. When thinking about the Imperfect Action podcast, three words come to my mind: actionable, inspirational, and authentic. If you like friendly and educational content that feels like chatting with a close friend, this podcast is for you. Listen to Imperfect Action wherever you get your podcasts.
And another thing that I wanted to hear from you that I think is so interesting, and I'd love to talk more about that, is returning home from Taiwan. How was this experience transitioning and integrating to your home culture after so many years abroad? How was for you? How it's been, I guess?
Yeah, so it's been about 7 months now. I've been back home. And I would say it was definitely an adjustment at first. Especially the first couple of months, coming back home, coming to another job as well, you know, trying to integrate into that world. And of course, when you're coming back to a small island paradise, you want to enjoy the beach. So for me, I think the real challenge now has really been managing my time, because I think I spend so much time at work, and it's work, and for me it's work and church and home, and then that cycles so much. So I've hardly had any time to do all the other stuff. So I think that's been the biggest challenge. And then facing other cultural challenges as well. Here in the Caribbean, what should I say? We have some persons who are a little bit more traditional. I'll say it that way. Who are a bit more traditional, who want to do things the way they've always been done. Not so open to change just yet. But I think the tide is changing. So even a few months ago, I went to a little conference where we launched an internet exchange point. And it was a really exciting conference. It was a big day for the country, because now we're bolstering our network infrastructure so that everything stays local. And I thought, you know, this is a very important thing, a new step. And now the politicians are getting involved in the development. And I think that's a positive turn. I would say that would not have happened like 10 years ago. I remember having a conversation with a certain politician, and I tried talking to him about these things, and nothing was happening. So I'm glad to see things are changing. And what I really hope to do is, whatever I can do in my little nation, is help to influence more of that change.
Yeah, incredible. I'm sure you will. And as an immigrant, what challenge did you face, and how did you overcome them?
So there's so many different challenges. Where do I start? So the first one, I think, especially when you go to a different country that has a completely different language, different style of writing. It's not even the Roman alphabet. You know, you're talking about Chinese characters. So the first thing I felt was very illiterate. I was like, wow, I cannot read. For the first time in so many years, I cannot read. And I panicked for a little bit during my first few months there. Of course, now I gained a little confidence after you take some Chinese classes, you start to speak a little bit, you start to gain a bit more confidence. But really, it's not like the Google Translate that we have now even. It wasn't as sophisticated as it is now. So that was a big challenge at first. So that's number one, the language barrier. Number two is the cultural barrier. The cultures are extremely different. Now, in learning these things, you try to do things that do not offend these people in their own countries. And then, you know, the way how they perceive language as well. Sometimes you might be speaking to your friend and you're speaking in a language that's not Chinese, but to them, they perceive it as being louder because it's, you know, it might be noise to them if they don't speak the language. And so a few times we weren't even speaking that loud, and the police was called to tell us to pipe down. And even though we weren't speaking that loud and we're hearing other people around, you know, just at least how we perceive it, speaking very loud. So that's challenge number two, you know, just dealing with these little cultural differences, whether it's that or relationships or, you know, just the way how you, you know, contact and so on. You know, those things can be different. And then the other one, at least for I think this is specific to Taiwan and maybe other countries in Asia, really integrating into the society in terms of permanent residency and citizenship. It's very different. So after we graduate, we do have a little right to work. The way how they make work permits for us is a bit different, but we are very limited in our scope of where we can work. So it's not like, well, if you spend a couple 5 years, you know, as a student, that counts or anything. That's not the case with us. So it's a bit challenging to, you know, get those statuses and, you know, freely work where you want to work. So the funny thing is, as a student, that work permit is open. You can work for any company. But as soon as you graduate, you're basically locked down to one employer. So I think that's challenge number three, work permit struggles and the way how they consider you, even though you may have integrated into the society, got your degree there. I think that would have been another challenge. If I can, and another one, I'll just throw in one more. Again, another one specific to Taiwan. I happen to be living on the east side of Taiwan. And I don't know if you've ever seen that meme where this building was falling on and there's some scaffolds on the side holding it up. That happened in the city where I lived. The funny thing is, I wasn't in the city. I was in another city that very day. And I got so many calls asking me if I was okay. And the thing is, I was just out, you know, in another city for dinner. And I got all these calls. I'm like, what happened? A huge earthquake hit. Oh, my word. So, yeah, challenge number four, I would definitely say earthquakes. They are not normal. I know you must experience them quite a bit in California. But, man, and we do experience some of them in the Caribbean, too. But that was another level.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah, that's so interesting. It's funny how I got used to earthquakes. And I want to ask you, how did your time in Taiwan influence your career path? And what did you learn from that experience that you still apply today?
So I think there's a few things. I really love the infrastructure in Taiwan. You know, they have TSMC, which is the world leader in the most advanced microchips, right over there in Shenzhen City. So the whole place is very technologically minded, and the way how they integrate things, you know, they try to integrate fast, but they also take precautions. That's what I like about that. So just being able to see things being implemented. So even, for example, like during the pandemic, they were just thinking, okay, we need a system to set up. So what do we do? All right, so we have this tech system, this collaborated with all the telecommunications providers. And it was a very seamless operation. It's not like they fought over it, but they all worked together to get the system implemented for public health. That's one. Another thing I've seen happen recently in New York, they started allowing for contactless payments. That was always a thing in Taiwan for like almost 15 years. So it's glad to see the rest of the work catch up.
I'm just dying to hear that. That's incredible.
So really, all in all, it's just being able to see things and how they're implemented and, you know, picking and choosing. Okay, maybe I could take some of these ideas and propose them and try to implement some of them if I can do them on my own here in my home country. So I think that's influencing, not just has influence, that's influencing my tech career, along with the relationships I've made along the way. They're very, very important in the tech community, you know, still being able to just reach out and send a message. Even the other day, you know, I was speaking to a vendor and, you know, I got a more positive response because I spoke to him in Mandarin. So just those little things has influence and is still influencing my tech career today.
Yeah, absolutely. I can imagine that. And this topic, it's still kind of new to me, but I'm enjoying to learn more about sports in general. We talked about that when we were planning this episode. Yeah. And you have a passion for sports, and I think it's incredible. And can you share more on how your love for sport has complemented your career in technology or any other aspects of your life?
Yeah, so I'm going to say this is more nerding out than just technology. Like the sports I mostly play is basketball, football or soccer, and cricket. Those are sports I mostly play. What I like from all of them, for some reason, ever since I was little, even playing the video games, I always just love reading the stats. So for example, if I'm playing a game of FIFA, I would always check to see, I had 50% of possession in this game. Can I hold the ball for like 80%? How can I hold the ball longer? And then I take those things in those simulation games and I say, you know, speak to my team and say, guys, let's try to implement some of these things. And, you know, it influences the way you play some of these games, right? In real life. So you play it in, you know, the video games and then, let's implement some of these things and do some of these strategies. So that's one part. And the other part of the stats, man, I just love speaking to people about it. I just love it. And where I want to go, hopefully soon, I want to do more data analytics on these things. Yeah, so there's an exciting subreddit, actually, called Data is Beautiful. And I remember they published a few things on the NBA. There's one that's very interesting, but I don't think I want to say it on this podcast, but it's an interesting topic. I'll tell you afterwards. So just little things like that kind of influence, just seeing how different factors of life influence sports and how sports influence different factors of life. I just thought it was so intriguing. I think some of those things will carry me forward in my tech career. But just other things I think I get out of sports that would always help, I think, anybody in almost any career, but especially in tech. Because in tech, you have to learn to work as a team. So I think sports would really teach anybody some of those principles, how to work with people who are not so agreeable. That's very important. Building camaraderie, having a shared vision. I think those things are essential, and especially in my position as a manager in my own right. How do you lead something? How do you lead off on something? How do you take initiative? And I think people who play sports, from my observation, I think people who play sports have a tendency to take more initiative.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, I interviewed some athletes for this episode, and it's just like so interesting how a lot of things you learn in sports can be translated to like corporate jobs. And to me, it's just so fascinating. And I love that you mentioned the data, the reporting analytics part of it, which is something that I also liked, but I never thought about those two things. And so interesting. I love that. I really, really like that. And I want to ask you, we are getting to the end of this episode, unfortunately, but I really like this question about the resources, because I love to get like tailored advice from like inspiring people. So I wanted to ask you, which resource helped you in your journey that you want to share with us? We are going to link to the description of this episode, everything you're going to mention.
Okay, so I think I'll just share a couple. You know, I could have probably thought about a few more, but these are kind of recent. These are just some recent podcasts I've listened to. I'll add something to this list. I have three of them. The Waveform Podcast by MKBHD. I really love it. They're fun, and they speak about current events happening in tech. Another one that I've really got into recently is called Scam Goddess by Lacey Mosley. You know, that presentation is really good. They go around tracking different scams and different things in the zeitgeist. So you're always aware of how people are trying to scam other people. I really like that. And the other one is actually on YouTube. It's not really a podcast. CoffeeZilla. And what he does quite a bit of investigative journalism. He looks at, especially people in the crypto space. and how they're, you know, trying to use the technology. Even though the technology is really good, but there are some people, some bad actors trying to use the technology to scam people, you know, who are really, most people who are just trying to make it. So those are the three I think I really, really like, those three resources. But I think I'll add one more. And this happens to be my favorite movie. I've only watched it once because I think watching it the second time will ruin the experience for me. And that movie is Inception. And the reason I love that movie so much is because it deals with dreams and, you know, how you deal with dreams and how you deal with, you know, just life in general. And, you know, starting out, you know, fiction from reality. And I guess you can say that, you know, in this, especially in this time of, you know, the ever evolving artificial intelligence. I guess, you know, maybe that's an important skill. But I think those are some resources that inspire me. I think, you know, I could have thought about so many more, including some books, but I don't think anything I would want to, you know, that would be that useful at this time.
Yeah, I like how you mentioned a lot of like very different things, and I really enjoy our conversation, very inspiring. And I want to leave the last minutes for you to share anything you want to share and also where people can find you.
Okay. So, yeah, just want to encourage anyone, especially in Latin America and the Caribbean, you know, just to keep pushing through. You know, sometimes things may look bleak. You know, you may have different challenges that you may go through. I've been through many. You know, I didn't speak about every single one of them, but I've been through many. But you have to just keep the faith, keep pushing through. And where can you find me? I think the best place to find me, you can find my name, DeAndre Ottley, on LinkedIn. I'm kind of pulling away from social media. So I think by the time this episode comes out, I'll be off of my other social media, but I'll be okay.
And your episode will be live in all streaming platforms forever.
Yeah.
Does that sound scary?
No.
No? Okay, nah, good.
I'll be good.
That's awesome. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome.
That's it for today, everyone. Thank you so much for your time. I would love to hear your thoughts about the podcast and the episodes. Please message us with any insight, any feedback you might have. And also guest suggestions. Message us in your favorite social media platform. We are in all social platforms. And if you want to write us in a review, we will love that. Feel free to write us in a review on Apple Podcasts, Audible, Amazon, or any other streaming that you like. Thank you.